fire, honey, Jesus fire.
Praise the Lord. Victory is ours today. Amen. Father, we are thankful for the victory that is ours. Your word says, for this is a victory that overcometh the world, even faith. Who is it that overcometh the world but he that is born of your spirit? We are born of your spirit. And Lord, oh God, we declare your declarations of our lives that we are the victors, no longer victims. Your supernatural power is operational in our lives, and we are a testament of your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that your grace is sufficient. If it were not so, the enemy would have eaten us up like nothing else. But Lord, because you are in us, the enemy flees from us. For you are the greater one in us than he that's in the world. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So glad to have you here in the house of the Lord with me tonight on this, the fifth day of our celebrating the feast of the Lord called the Feast of Tabernacle. During the last few days, I've had the opportunity to speak to us. I've been following a trend of thought, and I'm thankful for our guest speakers that have just been so amazing, incredible in their ministration to us. Apostle Daniel Mathiola breaking down what the tabernacle was all about and what God intended it to be for us. And last night, what a powerful service with Apostle Prophet Paul Amer, speaking to us so clearly about what all of this means, the abiding grace of God, making us understand what that all meant. And so these have been tremendous days of just exploring the word of the Lord together. Now tonight, I want to continue from the primary verse or chapter I've been working with, found in Psalm 24. Psalm 24. We've explored the fact that we need the love of God to be able to experience the fullness of God, that the tabernacling of God means that God is coming to stay in us. And the last segment that we addressed was how God was, because God hates sin. There is no ifs or buts about that. And God doesn't want to stay in an unclean place. He wants to stay in a place that is clean. And for him to be able to do that, he took on the responsibility, the primary responsibility of doing the cleansing, whether it be by the precious blood that he shed, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, and not just that, but that he came and took possession of our lives so that he can live his life in us and through us. Amen? The word of God says here that if we're going to approach the presence of God, that we've got to be people who have clean hands and a pure heart, people whose souls are not lifted up in vanity, nor people who have sworn deceitfully. Primary aspect of nor sworn deceitfully is the aspect where, you know, when we say, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, we have to mean it. And when we don't mean it, and we just sputtered off some words, we have sworn deceitfully. In a sense, your call to salvation is, I swear. Amen? I swear that you are my Lord and you're my Savior. And if that is the case, then, of course, we have to walk in obedience. Obedience to his word. Obedience to his instructions. And not be people that we establish, people that murmur or are rebellious. Praise the Lord. Murmuring, the spirit of murmuring against God and against his purposes, bring us into a place where we are not operating in the blessings that the Father has for us. Hallelujah. So let's look at, pick it up from Philippians 2, where we started out, Philippians 2, for example, and verse 15. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, it says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, God understands that we are in a crooked world. You don't need to look too far to see how crooked the world is. Up is down, down is up. Good is bad, bad is good. It is all messed up. And when you look at people, you wonder if their heads are screwed on right. Because you see the way they think and you say, even a dog wouldn't think that way. But that's where they are. And it's so obvious when we look at our politicians sometimes and people in levels of leadership that are all messed up and confused. Well, that's the world that we live in. But God says, I want to operate in you in a way that you are not, that you are blameless and you are harmless. The sons of God, praise God. And all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And for this to happen, we have to be the tabernacles of God. God has to tabernacle, live, and operate in us and through us. So the idea that I was born this way, that's why I'm this, I practice this lifestyle, and so on and so forth, is only relevant when you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. When we give our lives to God, we surrender our lives to Him. And He says to us, don't murmur. When I give you instruction, since you've not sworn deceitfully, when I give you an instruction, don't be a murmurer. Don't be one who is rebellious, fighting against my will and my purpose. Now, that resistance is a natural thing. Natural in the natural world, and so also natural in the spiritual world. So the Word of God says to us that we need to resist the devil so that he can flee. Why? Because the devil, he will be resisting you. He's pushing hard against you. He's saying, you cannot be what God said you are. You are sick and you know it, but you stand with the Word of God and you say, no, I am not sick. I am operating and living in divine health, the hugiano of God. Not only am I healed, I am in divine health. He says, you are poor and you know it. You will always be poor all the days of your life. You say, no, 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 no. That's what you think. But what I know and what I say is this, I am rich. He says, you're weak and incapable. And you say, no, 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 no. You are visiting the wrong address, because in this address in which Jesus lives, I am not weak, I am strong. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we live in the world where we are resisting. The Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And therefore, we need to put on the whole armor of God. Is that what the Word of God says? It says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Know that you are saved. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Know that you have a right standing in the presence of God. Have the belt of truth. Praise the Lord. Have that belt of truth in place. Carry the shield of faith by which you're going to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. The enemy shooting darts at you. Take faith and quench all of it. Put it out. Praise the Lord. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What for? To fight. To subdue the enemy. But this is one part that we miss. He says, put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Do you know that for most believers, that is their weakest spot? Why is it the weakest spot? Not only in the fact that we're not preaching the word of God, but because not preaching it is an act of hate and not love. Let me say that again. Not preaching is an act of hate and not love. You say, why do you say that? Because if you know that there is a real hell that people will end up in, and you have escaped that destruction, and you love people, you will do everything that you can, physically, emotionally, financially, verbally or orally, to declare the word of God, to make certain that people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and that they are snatched from darkness into light. Amen? Now, your footing, you know, I sometimes, when I'm able to, which is fairly rare, I might watch some boxing. And when boxers are boxing, when an opponent is about to give way, they sometimes talk about the weakness in their footing, in their legs. When you're playing basketball, when your footing is not right, you don't do well. The same thing is true about wrestling. That's why people spend so much money on their footwear. Your footwear is very important. Your foot carries the rest of your body. Is that not true? Amen. My hands don't carry me. My eyes don't carry me. My shoulders don't. My feet do. And they have to be strong. They have to be healthy. And not only does it have to be strong and healthy, you have to have balance. The reason elderly people fall is because they lose their balance. But interestingly enough, balance is not only an act of the feet, it's also in the balance in your hearing. Is that true or not? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to be balanced in your walk, you've got to be hearing right. And when you hear, the word of God says, when you hear the Lord, do not harden your heart. Don't harden your heart as in the day of provocation. God is calling us to obey. You know, there's an old hymn that we used to sing. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey. Faith and obedience. Trust and obedience. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. 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 I didn't say obedience is easy, but I will say this. Obedience is easier when you truly know Him as Lord and sovereign in your life. You will stop arguing, disputing. Stop murmuring and disputing, the Word of God says. Stop. Let God take reign, sovereign reign, in your life. Amen? Now, in Psalm 24, verse 5, there is a bridge passage. It says, the person who has that clean hands, pure heart, whose life, whose soul is not lifted up in vanity, that one who has not sworn deceitfully, in essence, has declared the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it says, on that person is going to receive the blessing of the Lord. He's going to receive the blessing of the Lord. Now, remember what we read in Numbers chapter 6, in the Aaronic prayer. In the Aaronic prayer in verse 26 and 27, Numbers chapter 6, 26 and 27, the Aaronic prayer is the prayer that God commanded through Moses to Aaron, that Aaron and his sons were to pray over the children of Israel. The last part of that is, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, his shalom, shalom. And then it goes on, he says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. They shall put my name, inscribe my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I will bless them because my name is tattooed on them. Praise the Lord. The blessing of God comes upon you when God can say, I own this one. Now, in the early days of slavery, you tattooed your slaves. Farmers will tattoo their bulls. You know, they have a stamp on them. Firebrand on them, right? So, God says, when I have my branding on you, then I can bless you. I will bless them. Praise God. Now let's go back to Psalm 24. God will bless. He says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Why? He has ascended this mountain of the Lord. He says, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You receive the gift of righteousness. We talked a lot about that 2 days ago. Receiving this gift of righteousness, right standing before God, blameless before God, chosen by God. And then he says in verse 6, this is God speaking now, this is a generation of them that seek him. Seek who? Him. Seek God. That seek thy face, God, O Jacob. Now, something is missing there. What is missing there from the context of what we've been reading is the God of Jacob. Amen? But let's assume nothing is missing. What is he saying? Is it saying that they are seeking Jacob? No. Remember where we started from? God established the earth on the seas and laid the foundation on the streams or on the floods. And that's God saying, I'm the God who works with impossible situations. And he says, this generation that acts like Jacob, a supplanter, trying to do things by force, trying to steal bet rights and whatever else, this generation, he says, he is going to manifest his glory in that generation. We happen to be that kind of a generation. And this is a generation that God wants to reveal himself in like never before. So what does he say? He says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail over my church. And he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Now, watch this. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Those are two different things. The gates are the gates of resistance that the enemy has put in place, the government of hell that Jesus Christ, our Lord, said shall not prevail over his church. And the everlasting doors are the doors that are now open because those gates are out of the way. Praise the Lord. So Jesus, our Lord, said we've got to have the strong man bound so that we can spoil his house. And then this interesting statement. Who is this King of glory? Let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? That is the resistance of the enemy. Saying, why do I have to do any such thing? Who is this King of glory? The response? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. In essence, move. If you don't want to see disaster, destruction, demolition of everything that you think you are, move out of the way. Because the one who is coming is the King of glory. He is strong and he's mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle. Just in case you need to know what kind of might we're talking about. A might in battle. So lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And you think the enemy backs off right away. He says, who is this King of glory? And the response is, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Jehovah Shabbat, Jehovah Shabbaoth, the Lord of hosts. What host? The host of heaven, the angelic forces, and the hosts in the earth. This is God saying, you are sandwiched. My host, I'm the Lord who is in command of the angelic forces. I'm in command of my hosts, my sons, and my daughters who have ascended up my mountain. They've come up. You are surrounded. There is no way you can stop what is happening right now. The Lord of hosts. Who is this king? Well, his name is Jehovah Jireh. Or you might say Jehovah Jireh. And he is living inside of you and living inside of me. He's tabernacled in every one of us. And he's the Lord who sees and makes provision. What is God saying to us here? He's saying, I possess you. I tabernacle inside of you. And I'm going to make you see things. I'm going to make you see needs. And I'm going to give you the capacity and the ability to meet those needs. You are not going to see a need and not be able to meet that need because you are helpless and incapable. I bring capacity to you and I bring capability to you. I give to you my ability because I am living inside of you. Somebody shout hallelujah. He is Jehovah Rapha. Who's Jehovah Rapha? Jehovah Rapha is a God who heals. Praise the Lord. God, my healer. God, my healer. He reveals himself in that dimension in Exodus 15 and verse 26, where he says that he is Jehovah Rapha, God, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. In other words, if you hear my words and you obey it, he says, and give ear to his commandments. You're not disputing it. You're not murmuring about it. You're keeping my statutes. He says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. The diseases are on the Egyptians. The diseases are on the world. They will not come upon you. He says, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to put a disease on you because I'm the God that healeth thee. Well, what does healeth then mean? Healeth then means that you are sickness free. Healeth thee is not you were sick and you got healed. Healed thee means that you were never sick because sickness never came on you. So the healing of God is the protection of God from me being sick. Wow. Praise the Lord. Because God starts at the end to begin. One of the signs that should have been very clear about us and the people of the world. One of the signs is a sign of us not getting sick. The sign of us not getting sick. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Hugiano, the state of hygienic health, even as your soul prospers. One of the signs, and I believe that that sign will be made manifest in our lives again because the healer is inside of us. Did you know that in you, you were created? Every one of us were created with divine health operational in our lives. It is also called our immunity. Is that true or not? Yeah. Did you know that within a month, I think it's about a month, if I'm not wrong with my stats, that you are completely, your cell, the cells in your body are 100% changed. That you, in a month, or I think it's a month, maybe it's 2 months, that you are not exactly what you were before. All of your cells in your body, all changed. Because God is that, even, listen, even a snake sheds its own skin When the skin is old, it crawls out of it. If God can do that for a snake, what do you think he did for you? But we don't receive what we don't believe. Because we are ignorant to what God said, we don't live in that state. When he already said he makes us partakers of his divine nature. Do you think God gets sick? So if we are partakers of his divine nature, as he is, so are we supposed to be. Amen? In this world, not in the future now. In fact, the statement is, when we see him, we shall find out that we are exactly the way he is. It's not, oh, now you finally arrived. You arrived already. You just didn't clue into it, and you just didn't connect with it. That's why you and I are not living in the fullness and in integrity of what God has already done. It is finished. I am the resurrection and life. If you believe in me, you shall not die. We're still dying, and God is saying, I'm still looking for somebody to believe me, not to die. There are people who did not die. Enoch didn't die. He walked with God and was not. Is that not what the word of God says? As he walked with God, he just continued. Says, honey, I'm going out for a walk. And the wife is still waiting. He just kept on walking and, oh, we've come this far. Let's just keep on going. Elijah didn't have to die. Praise the Lord. Well, death. Jesus didn't have to die, but he died so that the sting of death can be taken away. Oh, death, where is your power? Where is your sting? In essence, God expects for you and I not to die. I remember the day the Lord spoke to me about that. I can still see myself there. At 99 Lincrest, sitting in the family room, and from my left side, I heard, son, I'm still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. I said, what? It sounds like that, you know. Uh-oh, there's nobody there. I said, what do you mean? You mean somebody not to die? And I said, yeah. I said, didn't I say in my word, I'm the resurrection and the life? If you believe in me, you shall not die. Believest thou this? I said, you mean I don't have to die and be buried? He said, yes. I said, what can happen then? He said, when you're ready to come, I can just call you home. You don't have to go to the dust. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. And I said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. This is too much. I can read it. But people are still dying, not because that's God's plan. God calls us to divine health because he tabernacles in us. He lives in us. We died already. and is living in us, and he can quicken our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Nisi. So, ye gates, be lifted up. Jehovah Nisi, my banner of victory is coming through. The everlasting doors of God are open to you and I, because God wants to do the extraordinary things in our day and in our time. And I believe his word says in Psalm 103, it says that your youth can be renewed like the eagles. Why? Because it satisfies our mouth with good things. Not just good food, but good words. When we open our mouth and we begin to speak the language of God, something happens. The plans of the enemy do not and should not have precedence in our lives as God's people. It is the word of God that takes precedence as we tap into that name, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my banner of victory. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God who is my peace. If that's who he is, and the fullness of God dwells in me, then I must be a person of peace. Amen? But there's something about peace. I remember the day the Lord asked me, it's got to be about 3 decades back. He asked me, what is the most violent word in the Bible? I said, violent. He said, no. I said, I don't know. What is it? He said, peace. I said, what? He said, peace is the most violent word in the Bible. I said, how? What do you mean peace is the most violent word in the Bible? He says, doesn't my word say, my peace shall garrison your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus? What does garrison mean? I said, that's a military word. It stands as God, soldiers around you. He says, yes. Peace stands in defense, but peace also goes ahead of you to destroy whatever it is that wants to cause you to be in a state of unrest. So peace, you are in a state of peace when your mind is stayed on him. Yeah? When you're looking at the author and the finish of your faith, that's how you stay in peace. You cannot be in peace when you are looking at the things of the world, what's happening in the world. How do you stay in peace like that? Jerusalem, the city of peace. You know what? First time I went to Jerusalem, and I've been to Israel maybe about 25 times now. And I noticed something. With all the hoopla and the noise about how troubled the place was, I found myself in a place of peace. It was the most peaceful place I've ever been to. And yet there was trouble everywhere. But on the inside, there was peace. I don't understand this. How is it that I am so at peace here? He said, this is the city of peace. He said, pray for the peace. I said, but there's peace here. Why am I praying for the peace? He says, because there are so many forces trying to rob this place of peace. I have placed the heavens, even the heavens, they belong unto the Lord. But the earth has it given to the sons of men. So I want you as my emissary, my representative, to speak peace. The word of God says, they that speak peace over Jerusalem shall experience, pray for Jerusalem, you experience prosperity. And guess what? That word shalim, shalom, also means prosperity. So God has allowed that particular place to be what it is so that we can tap into it. This is one of the key ways that we can tap into prosperity of life. Praying for the prosperity, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, of Israel. And as we're praying for its peace, peace comes to us. Praise the Lord. That blessing, whoever blesses Abraham gets blessed. And whoever curses Abraham gets cursed is still relevant today. Praise the Lord. So he is our shalom. The Lord our peace. He is our Jehovah Raha. That's the Lord our shepherd, the one who guides us. So when I face challenges and I know that Jehovah Raha, Jehovah, my good shepherd, that he's in me, and as I acknowledge his lordship, he directs my path. He makes provision for me. He knows where the pasture is. And he leads me to the green pastures. He causes me to rest there. He causes me to come by still waters. Because he knows that sheep don't like running water. It's moving. It scares them. So he brings me to a place where I can drink peacefully and enjoy his goodness. He is my Jehovah Sitkenu. Jehovah Sitkenu, that is God, my righteousness. So, ye gates, be lifted up so that the King of Glory can come in and come through these everlasting doors. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a door. It's a door. And it's an everlasting door. When it is open, nobody can shut it. And if God shuts a door, nobody can open it. And God wants to open doors for us. He wants to give us an open door. Paul said, pray for me that I will have an open door to preach this gospel. He is my righteousness. He is Jehovah Makedesh. That is God who sanctifies me and makes me holy. That's the one that lives inside of us. He comes and he abides. He said, we will come and make our abode in you. Hallelujah. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present. He's an ever-present God. He's not an absentee father. He's there, watching over every one of us. And he is our mighty warrior. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His name is not just Jehovah Shammah, the one that is present. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. This is the first state of God revealing himself to man. He first revealed himself to Abraham as El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, the all-powerful, almighty God. In Genesis 17 and verse 1, you see, Abraham is here. He says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. This is incredible. I'm El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. God, what are you saying? What do you mean I should walk before you? I should be following you, not you following me. Embedded in that statement is the revelation of our failures and our weaknesses. It is not only that God wants us to agree with him, but God is calling us to a place where he's saying, you lead the way. Where do you want to go? What do you want done? He says, but make certain, if you want, are you ready for this? Be certain that I will be saying amen as you go. So be perfect, so I can amen. Now that's a challenge, because you find God coming into agreement with things that you thought he will not agree with. God, in this grace that is calling us to, is calling us to perfection. Saying, remember, he presents the animals to Adam, and whatever Adam called it, God agreed with. Yeah? Even God agreed that Adam, the woman, that her name was Eve, because the man called her Eve, God called her Adam. Is that true or not? So, we are in a very peculiar place where God is saying to us, what do you call it? Well, you know, things are hard. God says, amen, things are hard. You said it. I am broke. Amen, that's what you said. That's where you're leading. You lead in and say, I'm confused. Oh, yeah. I'm weak. Oh, yeah. So God tells us, hey, I put before you life and death. Choose life. If you are weak, say, I'm strong. If you are poor, say, I'm rich. If you're sick, say, I'm well. I am El Shaddai. I am all sufficient. Anything you want, I give to you. So what is it that I want? I need to be careful what I say out of my mouth that I want. Because there is a God who is, who says, I am the Amen. You know that's the name of Jesus? He says, I am the Amen. So if I don't want an Amen that is contrary to what I want, I better not be saying that out of my mouth, because God is tabernacled inside of me. I am blessed and highly favored. God says amen to that. Every day, I'm blessed and highly favored. Amen. I was somewhere the other day, and the guy wanted to ask me, how are you? He says, I know, you're blessed and highly favored. And guess what I am? I am blessed and highly favored too. Good for you. Praise the Lord. I am head and not tail, above only and not beneath. God says, amen to that. I'm your El Shaddai, the all-powerful God. Finally, God reveals himself to Abraham, reveals himself to Moses, specifically in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 4 following. And this is what it says, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. Notice that word, I have also established my covenant. That is God about to introduce a name to Moses. He says, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and have remembered my covenant. He's stating that again. Now, the difference between El Shaddai and this name that is going to be revealed, Yahweh or Jehovah, is that in El Shaddai, you have all this capacity. But in Jehovah, God intricately deals with people from a position of covenant. So he's hearing their prayers, their cries. He remembers his covenant. Verse 6 says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Ah, that's Yahweh. I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I'll read you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. He's talking about Yahweh now, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Tonight, in just a moment, we're going to pray. But the reason we came to this particular aspect and reflecting on who this God is to understand that the God that we're talking about is a God that manifests himself in so many different ways in us and through us. But greatest of all, that he's a God who remembers his covenant as Jehovah. Hallelujah. He is El Olam. That is the eternal, everlasting God. He is Jehovah, our Ebenezer. He's the rock. He's all kinds of things. And in simple terms, when he is asked, who is it that I'll say sent me? He says, tell them, I am El Asha'er. I am that I am. I will be that which I will be. I'm going to be everything to you. And Jesus, our Lord, came to reveal that Father to us. He came to reveal to us Jehovah. Amen? And tonight, as we wrap up, we want to let God be God in our lives. And we want to see every resistance, every government of darkness that is resisting the will and the purpose of God for our lives, that they be moved out of the way. Hallelujah. God, manifest your glory in us and through us. Are you ready? Well, let's do that right now. Just begin to lift up your voice before the Lord and say, God, be God. These gates have to move out of the way. The everlasting doors have to be open to me. So I have entrance and experience God in magnificent ways for his glory and for his honor. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we lift up our lives before you and we say, Lord, have your way. We've explored tonight your names, and there's so much more that you want to reveal to us. But this one thing we do know, that Lord, O God, that when you abide in us, the forces of darkness will not have any chance at all. Not in our lives, nor in the lives of our fellow saints, nor in the world that we live in. For Lord, O God, in this crooked and perverse world, Lord, we are shining brightly as your light. For you are the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of your own will have you begotten us. We are begotten of you by an incorruptible seed. And Lord, O God, tonight we are saying, Father, do that which is pleasing in your sight in our lives. Let your faith operate in us and through us. And Lord, O God, we surrender our members to you. We surrender our tongues to you. We surrender our hearts to you. Your word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And your word says, O God, that the tongue is an agency or an agent of all kinds of corruption. And it's ignited by hell itself. But Lord, O God, we are declaring this day that you are Lord and sovereign over our lives, over our hearts, over our tongues. And Lord, O God, that the fire of hell is quenched as it relates to us, and we are sanctified by your Spirit to declare your will done today. So, Father, today we declare and say, our marriages are healed. Our marriages are restored. We declare in the name of Jesus that our homes are blessed homes. We declare today that our finances are in a very healthy state. Lord, oh God, we have your abundance, overflow in every area. Our health is perfect. Father, we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that we are strong, O God, in you and in the power of your might. Father, all things are subject unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we declare this day that all things are subject to us by the authority of your word. Lord, O God, the forces of darkness are rebuked in Jesus' mighty name. Father, the fire of your presence burns ahead of us, around us, and it's consuming and tormenting the forces of darkness. They do not come anywhere by us, for we are sanctified by you, made holy by you. Everything about us is clean and wholesome. Your name is exalted in us and through us. We are holy. We are righteous. We are pure in heart. We are strong in you. And Lord, oh God, we are doing exploits, for we are the people that know their God. We know you, because you have made yourself known to us. And Lord, oh God, today we see you. And as we see you, we see, Lord, that we are changed from glory to glory into the image of who you are. You have come and you've tabernacled in us. And Lord, oh God, we say so. 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 That you are tabernacled in us. And Lord, oh God, you're living your full life in us and through us. And Lord, oh God, your glory is revealed even now in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever we go, as your glory carriers, your glory is made manifest. Lord, you've used Peter mightily, so mightily that the shadow from Peter was bringing healing to people. You will do greater things with us in this last of the last days. Father, manifest your glory. King of kings and Lord of lords, manifest your glory. Manifest yourself in us. Show yourself, O God, awesome. There is no God like you, and there are no people like your people that you have marked and have blessed. We declare this day that we are blessed of the Lord. Therefore, all that is within us, bless the name of the Most High God. You are El Elyon, the Most High. Lord, do what you have purposed to do. Let this feast of tabernacle not pass us and leave us the same way we've always been. But let this be a time of supernatural revelation. We honor you, Father. And we say yes to your word and to your will forever. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. I thank God for the privilege accorded me to share the word of God with us tonight. Tomorrow morning is our regular service time, and in the evening at 6:30, once again, we'll be gathered here, and we will have a very special guest with us from Sierra Leone. This bishop is a mighty man of God. I remember when I first went to Sierra Leone many years ago. As we're coming from the airport, heading into the city, I saw these big posters, or what do you call those things? Metro, whatever. Billboards, yeah, those billboards, huge billboards, and his face on billboards as we're driving, meetings that were being held, and the move of God that was going to be displayed in those meetings. We became friends, and tomorrow night, he's going to be here with us, speaking the word of God. Amen? And so come ready to receive from this man of God. It's a man that we've not had speak to us here in the past. This is going to be his first time with us. But I do expect some extraordinary moves of God as he speaks to us tomorrow night and ministers to us as God's people. And then on Monday, there'll be a solemn assembly. I know this is a special weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. So you being here for the services is definitely precious. There's so many other things that you can be doing. But you being here for these meetings is precious. And I believe that God is going to bless that precious offering, not only your finances, but of your person coming and saying, I just come. Lord, I need to have a special meeting, a special convocation with you. And this is this portal. It's a portal in which God is meeting with us supernaturally. Amen? Praise the Lord.